Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. Happy Mother's Day. What admirable quality, and I said admirable, quality do you remember most or do you appreciate most about your mother? Nothing. Okay. Maybe she's sitting next to you or behind you and you're afraid you're going to get slapped in the head or something, huh? What admirable quality do you remember most or do you appreciate most? I say remember most because my mother has passed away. She has been with the Lord now 26 years. And so some of you may are experiencing that same thing. Your mother is no longer with you, and so you remember an admirable quality about her, or maybe something you appreciate about her. What would it be? Unselfishness and sacrificial giving to her children. All right? Someone else. You love your mother? Why? Tell me why. Because she's nice. Very good. It's nice to have a nice mother. All right. Someone else? One word? Did what? Unconditional love. Unconditional love. A prayer warrior. All right. Faithfulness. Great. Someone else? I heard a voice over here. She's there for you all the time. Great. Someone else? Her love. Her love. She introduced you to God. All right? Someone else? She brought you to church, even though your father didn't go to church. All right. You love your mother because she's weird. That's what you appreciate about her. Huh, Lizzie? We need to talk. That's all right, Lizzie. I've met some weird mothers myself. It's okay. She prayed for you when you could care less. All right? Be careful, she's sitting right next to you. The strongest woman you know. Character, strength. She loves you all the time. Great. This is wonderful. Good stuff. She sacrifices to take care of you and your sister. Yeah. Okay. Frank, who cares about him? But she takes care of you, right? Right. She's a woman of integrity, honesty. Great. All right, ladies. Go ahead. Very, very supportive of everything. Thank you, Catherine. That's wonderful. Now, ladies, what attribute, what character, what quality do you desire for most as a wife, as a mother? Maybe you don't have it, maybe you do, maybe you appreciate that. But what is it that you, one word that you think of, one quality that you wish you had more of? You wish you had more of? Patience. Everyone for patience, raise your hand. Okay, that pretty much covers everybody. All right. Patience. Anyone else? Huh? Prayerfulness. Prayerfulness. Someone else? Love. An example. To be an example. Wisdom. Huh? Loyalty. Knowledge. What? Compassion. What does it take to be a good mother? I don't know because I'm not one, but I had one, and I saw a lot of admirable qualities in my mother. I speak of her from time to time. I wish she were here. Guys, don't ever wait to share with your mother, to share with your father, to share with those who are important to you what they truly mean to you, because soon they will be gone and you'll not have the opportunity to do so again. As human beings, we get so caught up in life and in living. We get so caught up in our own things. We get so caught up in our own agendas that sometimes we forget what is most important. And what is most important is not the things that we spend our resources on to acquire, to accumulate, that somehow gives us a sense of success in our lives. No, the most important things in life are the things of the heart, the relationships that we have. They're very fragile, they're very delicate, but they're so, so very vital and so very important to who we are as people, as humans. God created us to be in relationship with each other. And all too often we spend more time destroying that relationship than we do building it up. Don't allow that to be an epitaph on your life. Love the ones that God has put in your circle of influence and appreciate them and share with them what they mean to you. Because again, the time is fast fleeting. And we do not know what tomorrow will bring. And so it affords us an opportunity now to tell our mothers, our fathers, our husbands, our wives, our children, how much we love them and appreciate them in spite of their warts, in spite of their flaws, in spite of all of the other things that irritate us, grate on our nerves, that, you know, keep us awake at night, cause us to wring our hands and tear our hair out. And all. Anyway, you know, you need to let people know. Let them know. I appreciate your honesty and your candor with regard to what your mother has meant to you, the things that you appreciate about her, and some of those things that you wish you had more of in your own life as a woman. And as a mother, now I know, let me simply say, I know, fellas, that this is Mother's Day, and while we all anticipate and while we all understand that we're probably going to be speaking about motherhood, and we are, the things that we're going to be talking about this morning also pertain to you as men, as fathers, as husbands, in the home. Out of all of the women of the Old Testament, and there are many notable women in the Old Testament. Sarah, wife of Abraham, mother of Isaac. Eve, the wife of Adam, the mother of Seth and Cain and Abel. Deborah, the prophetess of the Old Testament and one of the great leaders in Israel. Ruth and Naomi, who typified faithfulness and loyalty and love. There are many women that we could speak about that emulate the qualities, the characteristics that God desires in a woman as a mother, but none excel the example that was set by Hannah, the mother of Samuel. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, personifies the ideal in motherhood more than any other woman in the Old Testament. Samuel was a very significant man in Scripture. He was the next great prophet after Moses. He was the last of the great judges in Israel. He was the one man who turned Israel back to God. I know that many of us, especially when it comes to elections and when it comes to debating issues and so on and so forth, we kind of take a passive stance in things, and we tell ourselves, you know, my vote doesn't really count. One person can't do anything to change anything in society. And while you may be quite right with regard to what you are able to do, may I remind you that what is impossible for man is always possible with God. And in Samuel, the son of Hannah, we have the one man, no other individual in all of Israel, only one man who was able to bring the nation back to God. It is possible. All things are possible with God. At his birth, when Samuel was born, when Hannah was just a young maiden, the church, the priesthood, was entirely corrupt. The word of God was rare, seldom ever heard in the nation. And every individual did what he thought he had a right to do. Didn't matter what anybody else said. Everybody went his own way. Everybody did his own thing. And if that happened to rub you the wrong way, tough. If that encroached upon your personal space, too bad. If you were not strong enough to stand up for yourself and to defend what you felt was rightfully yours against those who wanted to take away from you, well, tough luck. Everybody did what was right in his own eyes, and nobody would do anything about it. That was the environment that Samuel was born into. And yet, if you have read Scripture regarding Samuel, you will note, you will understand, you will remember that he was a man of deep spiritual conviction. He was a man who loved the Lord with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his strength. He was a man who knew the voice of God. And he was a man who was committed to walk the ways of the Lord all the days of his life. He did not arrive at that status. He did not attain those character qualities. This did not happen of his own accord. He had a great spiritual foundation that was built in him, largely in part because of his mother, Hannah. For she too was a godly woman and a woman of deep spiritual passion for the Lord. And if there was anything that she was able to give to her son, that was the greatest gift that she could give. Now, before any of us could say, well, you know, in those days, it was easy to be a follower of God. It was easy to walk with God. I would have you think again. I know we believe that the times that we're living in are pretty tough, and they are. I mean, given the economic situation that we're in, it's difficult. Moms and dads having to work 2, 3, sometimes 4 jobs just to make ends meet. And even then, not able to do all that they would like to do, need to do in the home to make it all the home needs to be. And of course, we understand that when you have those kinds of responsibilities, oftentimes it takes away from family time. Oftentimes it takes away from the children. Oftentimes it takes away from your spouse. Oftentimes it takes away from your own personal time, because we have to meet certain deadlines. We have to do certain things. We have to acquire certain things in order to make this unit, this institution that we call family, function, work like it's supposed to. And so we're under a lot of pressure. We're under a lot of anxiety. And we go through a lot of emotional ups and downs, physically tired, emotionally weary in the struggle of it all. But that's not just a modern phenomenon, dear friends. Let me kind of give you an outline of what Hannah had to face in her home. And this was before Samuel was born. For the most part, Old Testament women were looked upon as property, having no status and having nothing to say about the affairs of men. That would go over real big in American society, wouldn't it? Ladies, how would you like to live in a society where you have no standing at all, and you have nothing to contribute, and you have nothing to say about the way things are or the direction things are going in? How well would you tolerate that? That's the society that Hannah lived in. Her husband, Elkanah, was a priest. But he also had 2 wives. How would you like that? Hannah was not the only wife of Elkanah. He had a second wife, Peninnah. And she was an arrogant, egotistical, and jealous woman who constantly berated Hannah because Peninnah could bear children for Elkanah, but Hannah could not. So how would you like to live in a household where you shared your husband with another woman, and she was a mean and spiteful person because of something you are unable to do naturally? Thirdly, in the days in which Hannah lived, for a woman not to have children meant that she was cursed by God. How would you like to have that hanging over your head? That was the prevailing theology of the day. If you could not bear children, then God was mad at you. God was angry at you. You have done something to offend God, and He has cursed you. Because in those days, to have children was the greatest blessing a woman could experience. To be able to give your husband a child, to be able to carry on the family name through a son, was the greatest privilege, the greatest honor, and the greatest blessing that a woman could experience in the Old Testament days. She had no children. She believed she was cursed by God. And then the ethical and the moral status of society had degraded to such extent that chaos ruled the day. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes, inside the home, outside the home. And oftentimes the women, the young ladies, the mothers, the wives were the victims of everything that society wanted to do because they had no say in the matter. And if that was not bad enough, every year, Hannah traveled with her husband Elkanah, his other wife Peninnah, and her children, as well as other families in the community. They traveled every year to Shiloh to offer their sacrifice to the Lord. What a painful, emotionally distraught journey that would be. To be in the midst of all of these families that would move together, travel together to Shiloh to worship the Lord, listening to the children laugh and listening and watching them pray and listening to the husbands and the wives as they interacted with their kids. And yet Hannah could not enjoy any of that because she had no children. That was the situation that Hannah faced. And yet, in spite of all that she suffered inside the home and outside her home, Hannah became the prime example of a godly woman, wife, and mother. And she did so because of a few of the qualities that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, Hannah could bear up under this situation. Hannah could persevere. Hannah could wake up and live another day. In spite of everything that she faced, in spite of everything that was going on, she could continue on as the wife of Elkanah because she loved the Lord and she trusted the Lord above everything else in life. She loved and trusted the Lord more than anything else. She was one of many women married to a man who had other wives. It seemed like that was the norm in the Old Testament. Even though that's not God's ideal for marriage, that was the situation she found herself in. Listen, I know from time to time that women will complain, women will struggle in their heart and in their life to try to make sense out of what's going on in their lives, in their homes, in their families. Realizing that some of the stuff that goes on that they have to deal with is not of their own making. That's just the situation that they face. That's just the way it is. And Hannah struggled with that also. She couldn't help that she was barren and could have no children. She couldn't help that her husband was married to another woman. She couldn't help that society was going to hell in a handbasket. That's just the way it is. And yet I want us to understand that as a godly woman, she didn't give up. She didn't resign herself. She didn't yield to the way it is, to the status quo. She loved the Lord and she trusted the Lord. And even though what went on in her home life and what was going on in her personal life wasn't of her own choosing, that was the situation that she found herself in. Again, Elkanah's second wife, Peninnah, was a self-centered and hateful woman who picked on Hannah at every opportunity. And even worse than this, Elkanah, her husband, didn't do anything about it. We don't find anywhere in the text where Elkanah encouraged Hannah. I don't read anywhere in the text where Elkanah gave his wife an attaboy. You know, hang in there, girl. You know, things are going to look up. You know, we're going to turn the corner here. No, you don't find Elkanah giving any encouragement at all to his wife. You don't find Elkanah putting Peninnah in her place either. Elkanah, it seemed like, was a man who was just passive in the home. And yet Hannah was submissive to him as her husband, and she was also kind to his other wife. Why? Not because she had to, not because the law said and demanded it, but because she loved the Lord. And because she loved the Lord, she could love her husband, and she could love her husband's second wife. I firmly believe that Hannah knew very well the Shema, the Hebrew statement of faith found in Deuteronomy. Turn there, if you will, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verses 4, 5, and 6. You're in 1 Samuel, so turn left and go back to Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5, and 6. And I believe that Hannah, which, you know, this Shema was the call to worship. It was the Hebrew statement of faith. It's certainly more than the few verses that we have here in Deuteronomy 4. But, or Deuteronomy 6. But this was not just a religious catechism for her. This was not just a mental exercise for her. I believe that the words that Hannah would recite every morning, because it was required of the children of Israel to recite the Shema every morning when they got up, every afternoon, and every evening before they go to bed, it was more, as I said, more than just a religious catechism for her. It was something that she took to heart. It was something that was very near and very dear to her. Look, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Love the Lord. That's first and foremost in life. It comes before today's agenda. It comes before personal goals. It comes before family responsibilities. It is the one thing that supersedes everything else in life. And I believe Hannah knew this deep within her heart, that no matter what she was going to face in life, no matter what the home life was going to be, no matter what how people treated her, God came first, and she was going to love the Lord with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I believe that because Hannah loved the Lord above everything else, she could trust the Lord in everything else. Because she loved the Lord above all else, she could trust the Lord in everything else. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. How could she continue to live in that kind of situation? How could she continue to be a person of worth, of dignity, of self-esteem, when she was being berated, when she received very little help at all in the home or outside the home? How could she continue to do what she needed to do as a woman and as a wife, and maybe even as a mother if God would permit, with all of those pressures on her? Well, here's the first answer. She loved the Lord with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength, and she trusted in the Lord with everything in her life. Secondly, I would have us note that she was a woman of prayer. She was a woman of prayer. And by that I mean, dear friends, that she didn't pray just when things got bad. They were bad enough as they are. She was already experiencing enough turmoil in her life. But that was not the motivation for her prayer life. I know for the most part many of us pray when we're in a crisis situation. We pray when we get bad news from the doctor. We pray when we get a pink slip from our employer. We pray when our plans don't work out. We pray when things don't go according to Hoyle. But that's not the motivation behind Hannah's prayer. She prayed because she loved the Lord, and she trusted the Lord, and she wanted to commune with the Lord day by day, moment by moment, in everything regarding her life. She laid it before the Lord God. She was a prayer warrior, Brother Reuben. Every mother needs to be a prayer warrior. Every wife needs to be a prayer warrior. Every father, every husband needs to be a prayer warrior. And more than praying for our jobs, and more than praying for our goals, and more than praying for our favorite football team, we need to be in prayer for our families, amen? We need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our grandchildren. We need to pray for our spouse. Hannah was the fourth great woman in the Old Testament to grieve because she had no children. And yet she rises above the other three with regard to her spiritual response to her condition. Sarah, who had no children, laughed in unbelief when the Lord said she would have a child in her old age. Rebecca was just listless and indifferent. Rachel lamented spitefully by saying, "Give me children or else I'll die." But Hannah responded to her condition by praying. She responded to her situation by offering up the sacrifice of prayer before the Lord. Look at 1 Samuel. Turn back. You're in Deuteronomy. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Look at verse 11. Listen to her as she pours her heart out before the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 11. O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Oh, that mothers would pray like Hannah for their children. Lord, if you will just bless this child, if you will just bless me with this child, if you will just bless my home, then God, I will gladly give it to you. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman of prayer. She loved the Lord. She trusted in the Lord. The Apostle James reminds us in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Hannah was a righteous woman in spite of everything that she faced that was demeaning to her, in spite of all of those who tried to take advantage of her, in spite of all of those who refused to encourage her. She remained a righteous woman. And because of her righteousness, she prayed, believing that God would hear her and answer her. And that brings me to the next character quality, and that was that Hannah was a woman of faith. She was a woman of faith. She believed that the Lord would hear her, that the Lord would answer her, and give her the desires of her heart. She loved the Lord. She trusted the Lord. She prayed to the Lord because she was a woman of faith. David sang a psalm, Psalm 37, verses 3, 4, and 5. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself. Notice this. Delight yourself. Rejoice. Have joy in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. I firmly believe, dear friends, men as well as women, teenagers as well as adults, I believe that oftentimes the deepest desires of our hearts remain unchecked, remain unmet, because we delight ourselves more in the things of the world than we delight ourselves in the things of God. Delight yourself in the Lord, David sang, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Hannah believed and delighted in the Lord. She walked with the Lord. She obeyed His voice and believed that He would give her a son. In the New Testament, the apostle writes in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to the Lord must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And Hannah, certainly as a woman of faith, sought the Lord out on this matter. And we may very well say, well, she was being a bit selfish here. You know, rather than praying, Lord, your will be done, she prayed, Lord, give me a son, because that's what mothers pray for, right? I don't know. There was a time when my mother prayed, Lord, get rid of these boys. But that's another story. I do not believe that her prayer was selfish, Lord, give me a son. I believe that her prayer was consistent with the will of God, because God gave her a son and God used that son to bring the nation back to Himself. I believe she was praying consistent with the will of God. This was the attitude of Hannah's heart and her spirit. She was a woman of great faith. But Hannah also demonstrated a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. After chapter 2, we don't hear about Hannah anymore. Like many of the great women of Scripture, the faithful women of Scripture, when they had fulfilled their role, when they had accomplished God's will in their life, they stepped back. They stepped back into obscurity and allowed God to let their children shine. And that's exactly what happened with Hannah. After she had weaned the young child Samuel, because God heard her prayer, answered her prayer, and gave her a son. After she had weaned the child Samuel and gave him back to the Lord, she stepped back. And I believe she lived the rest of her life, for however long she lived, in grateful praise to the Lord God for what He was able to do through her son. She had a thankful heart. She had a spirit of gratitude before the Lord. I believe that these attributes, her love for the Lord, her trust in the Lord, as a woman of prayer, as a woman of faith, I believe they continued on throughout the remainder of her life. Because these things were not just present, and then when she got what she wanted, then she could go and do like everybody else. No, these were character qualities. These remained with her for the rest of her days. And her son, the great man Samuel, was a constant reminder of the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the compassion of God toward her, that He should bless her with the desire of her heart. Listen to her song of triumph. Look in chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2. Look at verses 2 through 10. No one is holy like the Lord. She prays, she sings, she cries out. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren have borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among the princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of His saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength no man shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven He will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. Praise to the Lord God. A song of gratitude, a song of thankfulness, a song exalting the Lord God in her life. She delighted in the Lord in spite of her situation, in spite of her condition. She lifted up the Lord in her life because she knew that God was going to do something great and wonderful in her life. And that brings me to the last point this morning, and that is Hannah exalted the Lord in every area of her life, not just in her finances, not just in her personal life, not just in her public life, not just in her home life and her social life. Hannah exalted the Lord in every area of her life. The Apostle James writes in James chapter 4, verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. You see, Peninnah, her husband's other wife, exalted herself. She could do something that Hannah was unable to do. She could bear children for her husband. And she chided and she mocked Hannah for her inability to do so. She exalted herself. But Hannah remained humble before the Lord. Hannah remained humble before her husband Elkanah. Hannah remained humble before her husband's other wife, Peninnah. She humbled herself before the Lord, and God exalted her and blessed her. How does that flesh out? How do we do that? How do we humble ourselves in our homes? What steps do we take? What actions do we engage in as a result of this humility of spirit? Let me just share with you a few and then I'll close. Hannah understood that everything belonged to God. She understood that everything belonged to the Lord. Her husband belonged to the Lord. His other wife belonged to the Lord. Her home life, such as it was, belonged to the Lord. Her own life belonged to the Lord. And by chance, should God bless her with a son, he would belong to the Lord. She understood the fact that these things were gifts from God. And so she sought to exalt God in all of these wonderful gifts. How? By giving them back to the Lord. Listen, moms, dads, we do all that we can do to be all that we can be, to make sure our home life can be all that it can be, that our children will be all that they should be. And all of us know, everybody in this room knows, that we fail at it miserably. We may have some successes, yes, but we're not satisfied with the progress. Oftentimes, we're not always satisfied with the results. And I know that we wrestle inside. We wrestle in our spirit. We wrestle in our mind. We wrestle in our soul. What could I have done that would have made a difference? What can I do that will make a difference? How do I deal with a rebellious child? How do I deal with a cold-hearted spouse? How do I deal with a home life that is dead? How do I deal with a dysfunctional family that I exist in? What can I do? What can I say? How can I approach this that will make any difference at all in the outcome of my family life? Listen, dear friends, there's one thing you can do. Give it over to God. Give it to the Lord. Again, what is impossible for you and for me is possible with God. God can take the cold heart and melt it like snow on a summer day. God can take a dysfunctional family and heal it and make it work again like it ought to work. God can take a rebellious child who is wallowing in the mire of worldliness and bring that child back home. God can make a difference in anyone's life, in any family life. We have believed ourselves to be the epitome of evolution. We have believed ourselves to be the greatest thing on the face of the earth. And look what a mess we've made out of everything. It's time we gave it back over to God. It belongs to Him. Hannah understood. The only way she could deal with a silent and unresponsive husband was to turn him over to the Lord. She understood that the only way that she could deal with a bitter and repulsive family member was to turn her over to the Lord. She understood that the only way she could address an empty heart, an empty spirit, and an empty womb was to turn it over to the Lord. Who better to take care of the gift of life in a son than to give that son back over to the Lord? And so that's what Hannah did. And in the prayer that she prayed, this wonderful prayer in the 11th verse of the first chapter, "If you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, I will give him to the Lord." The best thing you can do for your husband, the best thing you can do for your wife, the best thing you can do for your son or your daughter, your father or your mother, your brother or your sister, is to give them back to the Lord. Give them back to the Lord. She kept her vow. And when Samuel was weaned at age 5, the next time the family went to Shiloh to worship, she brought little Samuel along with her, and she left him there for the Lord to raise. Was that an easy thing for her to do? Absolutely not. I'm sure she was brokenhearted. But she made a promise to the Lord God, and she was not going to turn away from her promise. She was not going to turn away from her vow. God had honored the desire of her heart, and now she was going to honor the desire of God's heart, and she was going to turn her son over to the Lord. Elizabeth did the same thing with her son, John the Baptist. Mary did the same thing with her son, Jesus. And I don't think it's any mistake, dear friends, as I close, I don't think it's any mistake that when Hannah gave her son Samuel back to the Lord, he was the one influential man that was able to turn the nation of Israel back to God. And when Elizabeth gave her son John back to the Lord, he was the one whom God used to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming Messiah. And when Mary turned her son back over to the Lord, he was the one that would go to the cross to die for your sin and for mine. Hannah was a woman who loved the Lord with all of her heart, and she trusted in the Lord with all of her life. She was a woman of prayer. She was a woman of faith. She exalted the Lord in every area of her life, and she made true her commitment to the Lord. And because of that, she is acknowledged by Old Testament scholars the world over as the one greatest example in all of the Old Testament of what a true mother really is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful example that we have in Hannah. A beautiful woman, aglow with spiritual life and strength. A woman who faced great adversity at home and outside the home, but a woman who never took her eyes off the Lord. A woman whose heart pained to bear a child and yet gave that child back to you. And what a blessing it was for her in the home to have little Samuel. But what a greater blessing it was for the nation of Israel to have Samuel, their great leader. Lord, we have women today who struggle. What do I need to do so that I might do all that is necessary to have a home life that is satisfying, a home life that is a blessing, a home life that I cherish? What do I need to do so that my home will be all that you want my home to be? Father, you've answered that question in Hannah. I pray that our women here today will take, Lord God, the example that Hannah has presented and apply these same truths, these same characteristics they will begin to emulate in their own home. Father, there may be one here today who does not love you and does not trust you because they don't know you. They've never invited you into their life. They've never begun a relationship with you. And so, Lord God, they're certainly not a person of prayer. They're not a person of faith. And they do not exalt you in their life because they don't know you. I pray that today that soul will be stirred to come and accept you as Savior and Lord of who they are and everything that they're about. That they will come, Lord God, and they will humble themselves before you as Hannah did, believing, Father, that you will lift them up, you will raise them up, and bless them with the desire of their heart. Father, thank you for our faithful mothers and faithful wives. Thank you for the examples that they have set. Thank you, Father, for the work that they do. Thank you for their love and their compassion, their patience, their care, their mercy. Thank you, Lord God, for their wisdom and insight. Thank you, Father, for their leadership in the home. Bless them beyond measure, that they might continue to set that example in the home long after the children are gone, and as they help to raise the grandchildren, and as they become an example to the other homes in the community. Bless them. Father, thank you for Hannah. Thank you for Elizabeth. Thank you for Mary. And thank you for all of the other women, named and unnamed, down through history, who have modeled this wonderful example of what it means to be a godly mother. I pray, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit will move upon us now, and whatever decision we need to make with regard to our relationship to you, we will make it, even as we stand together and as David leads us in this song of commitment. Will you stand with me, please? If your heart's desire is to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I invite you to come and put your faith and trust in Him to save you from every sin, to forgive you of all that you have done that has caused you guilt and pain and heartache, that you will lay your life before the Lord, humble yourself before Him that He might lift you up. Christian friend, are you modeling the example of Hannah in your home? Are you a person who loves the Lord and who trusts the Lord? Are you a person of prayer in your home? Are you a person of faith? Do you exalt the Lord in every area of your life? If not, then I invite you to come also and recommit your life to Christ, that you might be as Hannah was in her home, you might be in your home. David is going to lead us as we sing, and as we sing, I invite you to come and put your trust in Jesus. David leads. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on Him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to Him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.